WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you. Welcome into Fun Friday here on the program. Hope it is starting off well for you. It is definitely starting off cooler. I'm not complaining. 61 degrees, I'll take that all day long. Well, I mean, I'm not going to get it all day long. It's going to get into the low 70s, but hey, good enough. And so hopefully you got some better sleep the last couple of nights. I mean, some of you might have slept perfectly fine in the hot weather because you had the AC blasting, but now you can sleep comfortably knowing that you're not running the air conditioning and running up that bill. So we have a lot that we can talk about today, but it is Fun Friday, so we'll have our Fun Friday question coming up in just a bit. One of the things that I want to discuss today is, I don't know if you're familiar with, we've had some stories on the website, on WBSM.com, on the app. But there's a movie filming somewhat locally. M. Night Shyamalan, the director of movies like The Sixth Sense, Signs. Let's see, what are some of his other big ones? I mean, I was a big fan of the, Unbreakable trilogy. Unbreakable, Glass, Split. Turns out that those movies are even a bigger part of the Shyamalan-verse or whatever they want to call it. But anyway, he makes these movies that are thrillers that usually have a twist ending. And he's working on a new film here locally. He teamed up with Nicholas Sparks, the writer behind The Notebook. And I can't think of what else Nicholas Sparks has done. I probably never saw a movie or read a Nicholas Sparks book. Not necessarily my cup of tea, but anyway, a big name. And so the two of them have combined on this movie Remain. And I guess the basic outline is it has to do with grief and loss and someone who lost a loved one. And it might be kind of a ghost story. It's definitely a supernatural thriller. And it stars Jake Gyllenhaal. And they've been filming that movie. We knew they were filming it in Rhode Island. I can't think of his name, but the guy who's in charge of the Rhode Island film office does a great job of putting out, whatever information they can share. Usually these production companies keep a lot of things under wraps, but whatever he can get out there, he's put out there. And so you knew that they were in the area. You knew that they were filming. I think at one point they were out in like Woonsocket. They were just in Adamsville. I believe it was last Friday. They were in Adamsville filming some scenes. And they've been doing some stuff, around this area. And I guess today or through today, the last couple of days, but wrapping up today, they're filming at one of my favorite restaurants in Rhode Island. Actually, one of my favorite restaurants anywhere, Tavern on Main in Chepachet. And if you've never been to Tavern on Main, it's a restaurant that opened in the 1700s. And it used to be the Rhode Island State House. They used to conduct the state business in Tavern on Main. It's haunted, of course, but the food is also amazing there. One of the best prime ribs you'll ever have, but I've never had a bad meal there. When the seasons turn and it gets to be closer to fall, they do a pumpkin encrusted chicken that is incredible. But anyway, and back in the pre-COVID days, you would go into this restaurant and you could either sit on the bar side or you can go into the main dining room. I prefer the main dining room. The bar is a little cramped for me. But I've had, you know, I've had many beers at the bar. But go into the main dining room, and then when you got in there, you'd sit down at your table. They'd seat you, and once you ordered, they had in the corner soup tureens. So they always had like a soup of the day, soup tureens, and they had these fresh baked like little cornbread rolls and popovers. And they had different chutneys that you could put on the popovers. They had so many options that you would just go up there, you'd get your popover, and they were huge. You'd get your popover, you'd make a little plate with a couple of different like chutneys to dip it in, grab your soup, go back, and if you wanted to get more, you could. It was included with your meal. But after COVID, they stopped doing that. So they haven't brought that part back. And they also have new owners now. New people took it over, I think about a year ago, maybe a little more. And so, but from my experiences, everything's pretty much the same. But anyway, long story short, they are filming this M. Night Shyamalan movie there. And they, just to show you, because he's, and first of all, I'm surprised at this because the movie takes place on Cape Cod. So they're not filming on the Cape, obviously. Who wants to go film on Cape Cod in June? That would just be a production nightmare because of the traffic and all the tourists and everything. So they were looking for places that could kind of recreate that Cape Cod feel. And certainly Tavern on Main will give you that old Cape kind of feel. But so normally Night's films take place in Philadelphia or in the Philadelphia area. So I'm sure it'll start in Philadelphia and then the guy will go to the Cape. But one of the things that he does, because he often films in Philadelphia where he lives and where he's from, is, you know, he puts a lot of locals in his film. So he's doing the same thing in this. For this scene, they're using the Tavern on Main waitstaff as the waitstaff in the film. So they all get a chance to be on the big screen, which I think is pretty cool, because they could have just said, hey, everybody, stay home. We've got people coming in. But they're incorporating the people that work there and giving them the chance to have their moment on the screen. And it's not easy directing people who have never been directed before for film. You know, you want everybody to look naturally, and you get people that will turn and look at the camera and things like that. So you have to have a little bit of extra patience. So I'm glad that they're doing that. And I guess from what I was reading this morning, I guess this movie comes out in October, which is a pretty quick turnaround, but I'm also not surprised because I think, you know, these are films that Shyamalan has a heavy hand in every aspect of it. So he's probably helping out with, you know, the editing and things like that. I would think, though, it takes longer than that to get all the effects back. I would think, you know, maybe they're filming now and it'd be October of 2026, but according to the story, it's this October. I mean, I've worked on TV productions that don't turn around that fast. So hopefully that part is true and we get to see it on the big screen, and maybe Tavern on Main will have a little premiere party or something. But anyway, we've had a lot of films that have filmed around here in recent years. You know, whether it be on the South Coast or around Massachusetts, around southeastern Massachusetts. And obviously, our tax credits for the film industry help. That draws people in. Rhode Island, similar to Massachusetts and the credits that it offers. Rhode Island has a few things that Massachusetts doesn't have for productions. Things like, oh, well, you know, the Newport Mansions. We can't really keep up with that for a potential filming location. But as such, you know, we also have a look and a feel that can feel like a lot of different places. So not everything that's filmed in Massachusetts necessarily has to take place in Massachusetts. Then we also have productions that supposedly take place in Massachusetts that are filmed in like Vancouver. There was a show that was on Fox a while ago What was the name of that show? It was... Oh, I can't think of it. It'll pop into my head, but it was like similar to Lost, and that it was like a weekly like there was a mystery, an overarching mystery that they were trying to get to the bottom of. I think Joshua Jackson was in it. No, not Joshua Jackson, the other one. Anyway, I'm thinking of Jeremy. I don't know. No, it was Joshua Jackson. Anyway, this show took place in Massachusetts, supposedly in Boston, and they would be investigating these like supernatural mysteries, and they had an FBI agent that worked with them. They have to go out into the field and investigate these cases. And in one episode, they're like, well, we have to go to Stoughton. They're like, well, I don't want to have to go cross the Stoughton Bridge or whatever. And I was like, what are you, there's no Stoughton Bridge. What are you talking about? I was like, I appreciate you trying to incorporate real local places, but. And then you think to yourself, nobody cares but you. Nobody knows that except people that live here. But anyway, so these locally filmed movies, I thought Finest Kind did an amazing job of showing what this area has to offer. I mean, not all the scenes were filmed here. Like, you look at the donut shop scene. I'm not going to ruin the movie for people that haven't seen it. I mean, it did come out like 2 years ago now. But anyway, or maybe a year ago. I forget how long it was. But the donut shop scene, you're like, oh, that's whatever it is. What's it, Sunshine Donuts? Oh, I know what that is. Right? That's off Belleville, right? And then you look and you're like, wait a minute. There's no apartment building like that behind it. And it's not. It's the donut shop. It's from Brockton. But still could be the one, you know, that's in New Bedford in terms of the storyline. So anyway, 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We still have some tickets to Shinedown to give away today. It's our final day for that contest. We will have a new ticket giveaway for you next week and a new chance to get out and see a show brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. And we just got alerted yesterday to more tickets for other shows. So they just keep rolling in. But I can tell you, you know, just to give you a little advanced info. Next week, we've got a big one. One of the biggest shows of the summer. We have tickets to give away to Coldplay at Gillette Stadium. And then after that, Rod Stewart. Then after that, Linkin Park. Coming up, Doobie Brothers. I think we're going to be giving away some tickets to see Kesha. We got so much. And it's all thanks to Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. All right, I've got to take this break. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And there was the song that every kid in the 90s that got a guitar learned to play. Well, I think probably Smells Like Teen Spirit was probably number one, but I think Glycerine would be number two. Or as we say in America, Glycerine. But Bush is going to be playing with Shinedown. And so when you win tickets to see Shinedown, you are also going to get to see Bush as well. And they're amazing live. Still sound incredible. Gavin looks like he hasn't aged a day. And they melted my face off with how much they rock. So you could be going to that show. And all you got to do to enter is go to WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Put in your info and you could be the winner of our last pair of tickets to go see Shinedown, Bush, and Morgan Wade at TD Garden. All right, now it is time to go into the newsroom, get all the top stories of the day from Mike Roberts.
More companies dumping artificial dyes. A postal worker collapses and dies on the job during the heat wave. And 4th of July, getting costlier to celebrate.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
House Oversight Committee Chair James Comer seeking testimony from a top aide to former First Lady Jill Biden. House Republicans are investigating former President Biden's mental fitness while in office and issued a subpoena for a deposition from Anthony Bernal on July 16th. Bernal, who did not take part in a previously scheduled interview, was reportedly so close to the former First Lady that he was referred to her as her work husband. Comer has also sought testimony from other top Biden aides, including Michael Donilon, Anita Dunn, Ron Klain, Bruce Reed, and Steve Ricchetti. More companies are agreeing to end the use of certain synthetic dyes in food and drink products.
Health Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. announced on Thursday Nestle and ConAgra say they will eliminate their use in all of their products by 2026 and 2027, respectively.
We're getting this extraordinary outpouring of enthusiasm and cooperation.
Kennedy said he's pleased the companies are volunteering to make the moves without his agency getting involved. Last week, Kraft Heinz and General Mills announced they're ending the use of dyes in their products. I'm Brian Shook.
The union representing mail carriers across the United States is warning about the excessive summer heat. The warning comes as heat has not yet been ruled out as a cause of Dallas letter carrier Jacob Taylor's death. He was found unresponsive on Saturday. During congressional testimony this week, Brian Renfro, president of the NALC, called the death of Taylor a call to action. The man behind the iconic Mission Impossible theme has died. Legendary composer Lalo Schifrin passed away yesterday morning at age 93. Grammy winner had been battling pneumonia. The Argentine-born Schifrin also wrote the film scores for Dirty Harry, Cool Hand Luke, and Bullet. Among many others, he received an honorary Academy Award in 2018. The cost of a 4th of July barbecue is going up. A new report from the Agri-Food Institute says food and beverages for a typical 4th of July barbecue for 10 people will cost about $130 this year. That's up a little from last year, about 2%. The increase is due to a large part for the increase in price of ground beef. Another survey from Coupon Follow shows 1 in 3 Americans will not be celebrating the 4th, with many saying they aren't feeling patriotic or they feel disconnected from American culture right now. If you're celebrating, don't forget the condiments. Heinz and award-winning producer Mustard are teaming up for a new sauce. The limited edition Heinz Mustard blends real chipotle peppers with a touch of honey. The collaboration inspired by Kendrick Lamar's hit song TV Off that Mustard produces. The new spin on Heinz Mustard will be available to try first at Buffalo Wild Wings. Then it'll hit store shelves next month.
You better shake your mama, baby. Calm down, you
bastard. An Instagram post this week by Rod Stewart includes a major announcement, and it has nothing to do with his shows. The intro for Do You Think I'm Sexy plays as a bottle from his Wolfie Whiskey distillery rotates. A cover on the bottle says, "Blends Have More Fun," a play on his 1978 album, Blondes Have More Fun. The caption invites visitors to join the wait list for one of 1,500 bottles of the limited edition Wolfie's Legend Edition. Stewart recently canceled several U.S. shows due to illness, but he still is scheduled to headline the final night of the Glastonbury Festival in England this Sunday.
WBSM Sports.
The Red Sox take on the Toronto Blue Jays at Fenway tonight at 7:10.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast, brought to you by C Street.
The good news is that it's Friday. The better news is that it's not 100. Oh, what a change from earlier this week. Early this morning, we're starting out in the low 60s, right where we should be for low temperatures, but we stay kind of cool in the afternoon. The upper 60s and low 70s on our Friday. We should be in the low 80s for the record here. Now, we're in and out of the clouds throughout the day. Little peaks of sun as we move later into the day, especially. A stray shower or two, not out of the question, but overall, it's a relatively easygoing Friday here in southern New England. I'm ABC 6 Chief Meteorologist Christina Shalhoop on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Mike Roberts, WBSM News, Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station, WBSM, and get breaking news alerts and all of our content on the WBSM app. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven.
And that is Luscious Jackson, and they were the opening act when I went to see REM. Around this time, it was a little bit earlier in June, but June of 1995, I had just wrapped up my junior year of high school, and I was getting ready to, spend the summer working and saving up money, and figured, I wanted to have fun, but I wanted to have a senior year where I didn't have to worry about, saving up a whole bunch of money for college. I was like, I'm going to start putting some money away. And, just because I didn't want to have to work as much in college, turns out it didn't work out that way. And I ended up working pretty much every day while I was in college. But anyway, I said, I'm not going to spend a lot of money. And then my friend said, hey, we're going to see REM. Do you want to go? And I said, oh, gee, I'm trying not to spend money, but I really do want to go. All right, fine. How much are the tickets? And the tickets were $25, I think, $25 or $30. And it was REM with the opening act, Luscious Jackson. And I debated about whether or not I should spend that $30. Because I was probably making $4.75 an hour, $5 an hour at this point. So, that seemed like a whole day's pay on a concert. That's crazy. But, now, of course, I jump on that in a minute. But it seemed kind of, crazy at the time to spend that much money. Anyway, why am I bringing this up? Well, because today's Fun Friday question, we've done a lot with TV, and I thought today we could do a little something with music. Today, my Fun Friday question is, what was the first concert that you saw, and how much were the tickets? And, REM wasn't the first concert that I saw. It was the first concert I went to without my parents. But, I'd seen the Beach Boys a bunch of times with my parents. I think we went to some other things at Great Woods, too, over the years, because I remember being there for other stuff. I can't remember who it was, but I know we'd gone to other concerts. And then we used to go to those Oldies 103 free summer concerts. I used to go when they had them at City Hall Plaza. By the time they moved them to the Esplanade, I wasn't going with my family to those anymore. I was working instead. But we used to go see, all those 60s acts. Like, I saw the Monkees, but it was just Davy Jones and Mickey Dolenz, Herman's Hermits, Jay and the Americans, Jay and the Techniques. Who else did we see? Just a whole bunch. Felix, what's it, Cavalieri of the Young Rascals, and Mitch Ryder and the Detroit Wheels. But, those were all with my parents. Going to see REM with my friends was the first time I went to a concert without them and with just my friends. I was supposed to go to a couple other shows that ended up didn't working out, and then there was one I wanted to go to where I couldn't get tickets. So this was like the first one I went to. And I think it was $25 for the ticket, but then, with all the fees and everything, I think it came out to $30. But I just fell in love with the idea of going to see live music like this. And so from that point on, anytime a band came around that I wanted to go see, I would go. And in those days, you didn't go online to get your tickets. There were two ways to get tickets. You either went and got them in person. You could go to the Great Woods box office. You could go to Ann and Hope, and in Hope sold tickets. You could go to Strawberries and get tickets. Or you could call 617-931-2000. That was the phone number to call. And so often, that's what I would do is I would call to try to get tickets. And I was trying to think about this the other day. I don't know how I paid for those tickets. Because I don't remember having a credit card. This is before I had a debit card, I think. But somehow or another, I don't know, I was able to pay for tickets on over the phone. But I remember just the frustration of having to wait on hold and, you know, you didn't know, like, how many tickets you were going to get. So at that point, we just came up with a new plan where if we wanted to go to a concert, a different friend would ditch school and go to Ann and Hope or Strawberries. And then just get in line and wait. And then you had to wait because it wasn't like we had cell phones. So you had to wait until they came back so they could tell you like where the seats are or if they even got any tickets to begin with. And it was, oh, and you know where else you get tickets from? Filene's Basement. Because I remember, I forget what show it was, but I was the one that went to go get the tickets and I went to Filene's Basement and bought the tickets. It was literally in the basement of the Kingston Mall. And I remember I paid with cash and I got like, it was like 10 tickets for me and my friends. And I was like, I can't believe I'm walking around with this much cash on me. Now you look at that and you're like, that just pays your cable bill. But anyway, yeah, I would go to just about anything. And that, I still love to go to see live music. And I'm not the getting drunk and, you know, losing my mind. I'm not dancing around and singing. I'm just standing there. I like to try to get as close as I can, but I'm just standing there, arms by my side or crossing over my chest, listening to the music and watching the performance. And that's what I like, and that's how I have a good time. So if you ever win tickets to a show and I'm at the show too and you see me standing there and don't think I'm not having a good time, that's just what I do. There's been a few concerts that I've gone to where I've gotten pretty wasted. Or where, you know, everybody sparking up might have affected me. Yeah, I get it. It does affect me just smelling it. But, and then I'm like, well, I don't remember everything about the concert. And that's, I want to remember it. So that REM show kicked off, you know, my love of going out to see live music. So my first concert, you know, without my parents, $25. They played 3 days in a row at Great Woods. When does anybody play 3 days in a row at Great Woods anymore? And most shows are just one and done. But they had a 3-day appearance in Mansfield. Let's take a phone call here. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, good morning. You're making me miss WSMU.
Yeah.
I miss that radio station. And it's a gaping hole now in local radio. To think of how people get their music or how they get introduced to new music and new styles of music. We don't have that anymore. If you want to do that, you have to search for something on YouTube or whatever, or Pandora or whatever. But yeah, I used to make a habit of, you know, I was always listening to college radio. They'd always be giving away tickets to local shows, you know, back then it was the Curfew Club in the North End, or it was Baby Head out in Providence, or the Living Room out in Providence, or, you know, Pawtucket. Always listening to the radio station, always getting tickets, that was life. And you had your skateboard, your backpack, and you had shows to go to at night.
I don't know if you could get it where you were, but did you ever hear the Tabor Academy radio station?
I always wondered about that. I grew up in Marion. I knew it was there at one point, but I didn't know how to find it, if it was even still operating.
I can't remember what the dial setting was, but I would listen to it, and it was great because you could call and request a song, and it would be like the next song that they played. Like, there was no way. They usually had it, and so, you know, at a time when you didn't have access to everything immediately to be able to listen to what you wanted to, sometimes that was the only way you could hear a song, and then you'd be there taping it off the radio.
That was the benefit of local small-time radio stations, is they will actually take a request from you. Like these big corporate stations, everything's automated anyways. You know, they only have a list of 10, 20 songs that they can play over and over and over again. That's frustrating. But, talk about concert. My first concert was Rush on the Presto tour back in the late 80s.
And do you remember how much the tickets were?
Oh God, I have no idea. I was a junior in high school.
Yeah, probably like 15, 20 bucks, I would think.
Yeah, it wasn't crazy, but I do remember the light show, and I do remember they did not play Working Man. And I was disappointed in that one because that's one of the songs that was big song I wanted to hear, and they skipped that one. But as far as other concerts, my God, I when I got my non-commercial college license, I think the first show I went to see was Mr. Bungle at the Axis Club. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you're familiar with Mr. Bungle, but that's
Mike Patton's band, right?
Huh?
That was Patton's band, Mike Patton's band.
Yeah. Squeeze Me Macaroni. It's very interesting stuff, but that had to be one of the seminal moments for me. It was just going to see that show. It was absolutely insane. There wasn't even enough room for people to dance. All they could do is bounce. It was so packed. A lot of stage diving and everything, but that was insane. So, let's see. Bad Brains, Slapshot, and Sam Black Church I think it was the last show at the Channel up in Boston. That mm-hmm. was crazy to see the Bad Brains, because that was after HR kind of flipped his lid. And Chuck Mosley from Faith No More, the first singer of Faith No More, went on that tour with the Bad Brains. And he was sober at that point, too. It was a very cool show. Let's see, what else? Primus and Fishbone at the Orpheum Theater in Boston. That was a very cool one. Couldn't dance, though.
Yeah, because it's all seats there, right?
Right, yeah. You could only bounce up and down right in front of the seat. You couldn't go out in the aisles. Dude, it's Fishbone. What else are you supposed to do? You know what I mean? Not so many different concerts over the years I've been to. And I would say the kids these days, stay away from the speakers. It's fun, but at least if you're going to go up to the speakers, if you're going to go in the pit, wear some ear protection.
Yeah, absolutely. And
you're going to feel it later in life, yeah.
They seem like they're I don't know if it's just me or if it's the technology, but they seem a lot louder than they were when I was 17.
Oh, God, yeah. And I worked in theater for 20 years after college. So, that didn't help with my hearing. But I learned over time, you got to protect it while you have it.
All right. Well, I got to hold you there, but thanks for the memories.
Yep.
Have a good weekend. All right, I got to take this break right here. We'll be back in a few moments. That's our Fun Friday question. What was your first concert, and how much did you pay for the ticket? And if we go down the road of constant memories, I'm totally fine with that. We'll be right back.
Big storm on the barrow. Yeah. That's why I'm easy. I'm easy like Sunday morning.
And that is the Faith No More version of Easy. It's the only Faith No More I could probably play at 6:55 in the morning. But great cover of that song. And Mike Patton has a very distinctive voice. There was a video game that came out years ago on PlayStation called The Darkness, and he was the voice of the darkness, the evil creature in the game. Pretty cool. Anyway, I got a message from Brian who says he, not his first shows, but he went to see Rush and sent me some of the tickets that he paid $11.90 to see Rush in 1982. Amazing. At the Providence Civic Center. What a great deal. And then you were probably like, man, $12.50 to go see Rush? Well, that's okay. They're worth it. I'll pay the extra money. But he says his first show was in 1979 seeing Kiss. And I saw Kiss in 96 when they came back out with the makeup on. That was an amazing show, but I think I paid like $100 for the ticket because we got them not from a scalper, but definitely from a third-party vendor. He just sent me to seeing Ozzy in 1981 in Providence at the Performing Arts Center for $7.75. All right, answer me this question. Would the Providence Performing Arts Center ever have an Ozzy Osbourne concert today? I don't even know if they still do concerts at the PPAC, do they? I mean, everything seems to be more of a musically driven show, like a musical, you know? I remember seeing Tori Amos at the PPAC. I met Tori Amos at the PPAC. It was a meet and greet from WBRU. I had to sing the, Welcome Back Cotter theme song in order to win. Anyway, I got one more break I got to take here before the end of the hour. We'll get more into some concert talk, but let me get this break done. That is the Spin Doctors. I finally got to see them live at Boston Calling last month. I wanted to see them in 1993 when they were touring with Soul Asylum and Cracker. And I didn't have a job then. This is before I worked. And I was like 14, and my parents were like, no,